Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the June 30th, 2025 meeting of Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners Intergovernmental Relations Committee. This meeting is also being conducted via live teleconference for public access. Terry Lehane, Director of Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this combined in-person and public meeting.
Good morning. This is Terry Lehane, Director of IT at Rhode Island Housing. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on the Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-429-1427.
Thank you, Terry. Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel of RA Housing. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website to view today's agenda and information and documents being discussed today. If the teleconference portion of the meeting is interrupted, we will stop the meeting and attempt to restore audio. Chair of the committee, Commissioner McAllister, will preside at this morning's meeting. Commissioner, staff, and guests, please do state your name prior to speaking for the benefit of our minute taker and those listening in by teleconference. With that, I'll turn it over to the committee chair to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Steve McAllister. Carol, can you do a roll call for us?
Yes. Committee Chair McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Goddard.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Craven.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. We have two items this morning to discuss, and we're going to do a recap of the 2025 state legislative outcomes and review of the 2025 federal legislative priorities. So I'm going to kick it and introduce Amy, going to give us an update on this, and I think Amy has come a long way since we first started this, and it was all defense, and now, you know, we're have legislative packages coming through, and I didn't receive any calls at 9 o'clock at night saying, "Uh-oh, this is moving. Can you call so and so?" So, thank you very much. So, Amy, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairman. Amy Raynone, speaking. So, I'm going to try to keep this short. I know you've spent a long session already this morning, but anybody can feel free to ask any questions as we go along. I would say it was a good session for us and for housing overall. The budget, the governor had proposed some additional resources for housing and homelessness in his proposed budget. The General Assembly expanded on that. In the end, there was an additional $8.5 million for housing and homelessness programs funded through a increase in the real estate conveyance tax and sort of closing what's called as a loophole in the whole house short-term rental statute. There was also a new non-owner-occupied tax on residential properties valued at over $1 million, with that revenue going to the state LIHTC program with a delayed implementation date, so that would be for the coming fiscal year. In addition to that, as the chairwoman has mentioned, there was a new article incorporating the recommendations that the department made relative to the governance structuring relative to housing. In addition to the changes made to the board, there were also was also language that we mentioned at an earlier board meeting that replaces the Housing Resources Commission with several advisory bodies, basically on a housing advisory body, a homelessness housing production and preservation advisory body, a homelessness advisory body, and an advisory body with community organizations. It also transferred several functions of Rhode Island Housing to the new Executive Office of Housing, including the development of the QAP, as we discussed, beginning in 2026, the administration of the Housing Production Fund, and the production of the annual state's low and moderate income housing chart beginning in 2027. In addition to the budget, it was another, the chairman of the committee mentioned, a very active year on housing. We were tracking over 320 bills this year, which is a record. Of those, 50 and their companions were passed by the end of the session. There was again another speaker's housing package, the original package of which 10 passed, although another one was basically absorbed into another bill. They covered, again, sort of a wide range of things. I would say the most impactful elements of the speaker's package this year are expanding the residential code to include 3 and 4 unit properties. It's currently 1 to 2 unit properties. There were some further improvements to the adaptive reuse law. There were very substantial changes to the Low and Moderate Income Housing Act. Folks may be familiar with the fact that under current law, communities that have hit the 10% affordable housing goal or an alternative rental calculation can basically have a basis for denial of comprehensive permits. Under these changes to the law, the rental calculation goes away. And even with so folks that have been exempt under that calculation no longer are. And in addition to that, even under this new law, even communities that meet the 10% are going to have to continue to do some work in terms of affordable housing and will continue to be subject to the comprehensive permit process, although they can put some caps on the number of units being permitted unless they have an inclusionary zoning ordinance. So it's a little complicated, but all in all, some significant changes to the Low and Moderate Income Housing Act. So those are headed to the governor's desk, and I was getting some things this morning. I think he signed a bunch of them. In addition, related to Rhode Island housing, Carol mentioned earlier there was a bill that passed, and we were happy to work with the Department of Administration and with the Department of Housing on language which creates a land bank in a Rhode Island housing subsidiary and allows Rhode Island housing to basically receive surplus state property, which is great. I'm looking forward to that implementation. There was also legislation passed that directs Rhode Island Housing and the department to work with stakeholders to investigate ways to assist homeowners associations to purchase leased land under owned buildings. Apparently there are a number of these kinds of properties, particularly in, I think, Gaspy Point and East Bay, where there are sort of stick-built houses owned by their owners on leased land. So we're going to be working on that over the off session. Related to the Department of Housing, there was legislation passed that the department worked on creating a Rhode Island Housing Champion designation program for municipalities that are taking steps to remove barriers to housing development to give them access or priority access to state resources. Also, the department requested and were passed legislation that tweaks some of the reporting requirements and thankfully gets rid of one of Rhode Island Housing's duplicative Rhode Island Housing reporting requirement. We appreciate that. Also, legislation to create a 4-year pilot program to look at some alternative underwriting criteria for affordable homeownership properties between 100 and 120% AMI, specifically looking at up to 38% of gross household income in terms of affordability. Landlord-tenant, there was really only one landlord-tenant bill that passed this session last year. That was a hot topic. It was not as much this year. Legislation was passed prohibiting landlords from inquiring about immigration status of tenants with exemptions for federal law or requirements. There was a lot of activity around sort of tax credits, tax benefits. There were improvements made to the state historic tax credit and the Rebuild Rhode Island program that basically raised the trigger for a prevailing wage from $10 million to $25 million, which is an important improvement. Also, some provisions around exemption of sales tax for certain rebuild projects. I believe this was intended to, in association with the Superman building. In addition to that, legislation was passed as sets a basically a consistent statewide municipal process for determining the value of owner-occupied, low and moderate income housing for the purposes of taxation, and a couple of additional specific to West Greenwich and East Greenwich tax legislation dealing with affordable housing. In terms of legislation that Rhode Island Housing testified against or sought to amend, there were two bills dealing with housing accessibility, which Rhode Island Housing, the department, and others in the advocacy community were in discussions on right up until the end of the session. These are pieces of legislation that have sought to increase requirements for accessible units or visitable units. At the end of the day, there was no agreement was able to be reached, and those bills did not move forward. There had also been legislation introduced early on setting up a revolving fund for first-time home buyers to help purchase homes in Rhode Island. We had sent a letter to the sponsors about needing some changes to that, but it never moved forward. There were also a lot of bills that were introduced that basically undermined either the Low and Moderate Income Housing Act, the 8% tax standard for affordable housing, or similar statutes, and none of those move forward, which is good. I'm happy to answer any questions folks may have on the state stuff.
Amy, I know with the you know, Department of Housing and Rhode Island Housing, there's a lot of confusion, you know, when a rep or a senator contacts me about it. You know, a lot of times I'm trying to pick up this one they're talking about. If it's something they like, I say it's Rhode Island Housing. yeah. But, you know, I think that's going to be something that you know, going forward, you know, I think it's good that we have the chair on the here so we can have, you know, the one voice, because people are really into housing, as you know, as we've seen with just all this that comes out, and it's important on that. Anything else, any big thing coming up in the next round that we should start looking at? Are you hearing anything that this could be the issue of, you know, housing?
Yeah, I think that the accessibility stuff is not going away. This is a we have an aging population. There are some folks up there that feel very strongly about that issue. So I think that we'll be seeing that again, and I'm sure that we'll be having conversations and with the department over the summer around planning for that in the future. Building decarbonization did not pass this year, but it was another one of those that was in the negotiations right to the very end. That's another topic that I think is not going away. The Act on Climate, there's a climate action plan that's supposed to be completed by the end of this year, and I'm sure that there will be recommendations in that plan relative to housing. So that one I expect to come back again. There is language in the budget around some of the stuff that's happening at the federal level, right? So, and there was obviously some, and we'll get into federal in just a minute, but there's a lot going on at the federal level that could have ongoing repercussions for the state, and I think that certainly impacts the housing area as well. Those are the big ones, I think, that leap out at me.
Alex, any questions?
Another, this is Commissioner Clark, another bill that passed was the exemption on new construction and the tax levy cap. I'm not saying it's correct.
Part of the speaker's package. Yeah, so there was this is Amy. There was one of the bills in the speaker's package allowed municipalities to exceed their tax rate cap. Their amount of taxes that they can collect. Right now it's at 4%. There was some specific exemptions for some communities, including the City of Providence, for sort of some of the cost issues that they're dealing with right now. But the Speaker's bill allowed municipalities that have new housing production under certain conditions to be able to exceed that cap for those units. So that's actually a really important incentive. Historically, municipalities have argued that new housing is a burden on their tax perspective, from a school perspective, all of those kind of things. So this actually kind of gives them an incentive to have increased housing production. So that could be a very impactful element.
Just, again, Commissioner O'Connor, just a note that we don't agree that housing has a negative fiscal impact. There is some common sense to say production should generate additional resources.
Any other questions on the state stuff? To the federal stuff, there's mud.
Yeah. So what I gave you is actually what we went to Washington with at the beginning of March, which seems like a very long time ago, given everything that's happening and is very fluid. So I figured I'd start with what we went to Washington with and the priorities that we shared with the delegation, and then I'll sort of catch you up on what we know of what's happening right now. Our priorities this year are very similar to the priorities that we have we traditionally go up there with, improvements, the expansion of the low-income housing tax credit, the Affordable Housing Credit Improvement Act. Our entire delegation is either a sponsor of that legislation or on the wait list. They let them in one by one, Democrat, Republican. So everybody is either currently sponsoring or would like to be if they can get to the top of that list. Performance-based contract administration continues to be an issue that we push with the delegation, and we'll see how that this year's appropriations process. Risk share, FFB. This is something that the Trump administration in its previous term allowed to expire, and then it was reinstituted and made a permanent program, but it could be stopped. So that's something that we've used very effectively for both preservation and new production. So we're going to be trying to make sure that stays around. And the importance of our mortgage revenue bonds, the tax-exempt status of mortgage revenue bonds. There had been concerns that those might be tapped as a revenue source for the reconciliation package, but that did not happen. And appropriations, and it lists there, and Carol mentioned them this morning, the programs that we care about in particular that we've used effectively here in the state to support that funding moving forward. So where we are right now. On appropriations, the president introduced his skinny budget at the beginning of May, which was pretty tough. It had some pretty massive funding cuts as well as programmatic changes that would be problematic. Overall, HUD's budget was proposed for a 44% cut. All of the sort of rental assistance programs were lumped together with term limits in terms of how long you could take advantage of those. The home program was eliminated, CDBG was eliminated, consolidation and cuts to the homeless programs. It was not a great budget. They have not had the appropriations hearings yet. So historically, this is not unusual in terms for this administration in particular, in terms of offering very, very substantive cuts. Historically, the appropriations committees have not have tempered that significantly. And from the conversations in hearings with the Secretary of HUD, there has been a lot of pushback so far. However, they haven't had their subcommittee markups. They're expected to have those probably around mid-month, July, but they aren't scheduled yet. And that'll be when we see what it really looks like. I would say that there are a number of the things that are proposed, like the consolidations of all of those different programs and the term limits on those programs. require statutory changes. So it's not just about the money. They would actually have to rewrite some pretty substantive pieces of legislation. So which is possible, but would be tough. That would be tough to accomplish in the kind of cycle that we're in right now. But so we'll see. And we definitely have communicated to all the members of the delegation how important those programs are to us. There is only so much that they can do. So we'll see how that plays out. On the reconciliation package, as I'm sure you've all heard, that is working its way through the process right now. There was probably the most significant positive element in that bill for housing is some changes that were made to the LIHTC program. So the bill does include an increase of 12.5% for LIHTC in terms of the tax, in terms of the credit volume. The House bill put that in place for 4 years. The Senate bill made it permanent. Same on the bond financing threshold, lowers the bond financing threshold and the 4% credits to 25%. Again, the House made that a four-year thing. The Senate bill makes it permanent. The reconciliation